Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I want to thank all of you for tuning in with us again, yet another Monday night that we're going to put down tonight. Or know again that it's football season, so we want to continue to thank each and every person that decides to tune in with us, regardless if you're watching football and listening to us at the same time. We are just so thankful that you are choosing to become a regular listener of the Butterfly Evolution Show. We have a great number of people tuned in tonight, so just want to make sure for those of you who are just coming in that you know that we appreciate you tuning in with us every Monday night. So welcome and thank you. Before moving forward, we do want to just go over a few housekeeping things. Number one, I am going to open up the chat line right now. So for those of you who are listening online, you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order to send your question or comment to us. You do have to be a registered follower of the show. Now, you can do that tonight. You can wait and do that later. And if you have a comment or question, just select the number one, call in to the call-in number first, and you can select the number one. That's 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406. And again, for those of you who are listening by the way of phone, you do have to select the number one to make a comment or ask a question. We will identify you by providing your area code and the last four digits of the number that you are calling from. So it will be the number that you're using to call into the show tonight. If we're ever disconnected, either myself or Tika, if we're ever disconnected, please just continue to hold on. Some things we have no control over. But if that ever happens, we will reconnect just as quickly as possible. If I disconnect, Tika should always be on, and vice versa. If she disconnects, I should be able to come in unless something just drastic happens. So want to remind you all to continue to move your trash cans. And for our new listeners and for those of you who listen with us all the time, be patient as I continue to mention this. I would not do it, or we would not do it, if it truly wasn't important in helping you to see how change is needed and how we can often just get stuck in a routine just out of habit. So continue to move your trash cans. Make it a fun game. If you're part of a family, have children, make it just family fun. So continue to do that. Continue to tell us what's happening, how often you go back, and what are you getting from it. Continue to move things around in your house. Again, we can just become so accustomed to things out of habit. We want to briefly share something. We meant to share this with you last week, and I didn't get to mention it to Tika. We talked about doing it last week, but I failed to, and I think she might have forgotten about it as well. But we're going to start something new. We're both going to share a little bit about this, but mainly we want to encourage our listeners to read more or add more books to your library as well. That has become phenomenal in my life, and I speak for Tika as well as she will, but It is really, I look at reading as a way of meeting and connecting people that I may not ever get to meet with or talk with. It allows you to go places that you may not ever get to see as well. So reading is very, very important in your children's lives. You know, your children, if you're encouraging your children to read, then they should see you doing some of that as well. So we're going to probably within the next month tell you more information about that. We are going to read our books first, and some of the books we would have read several times before introducing it to you all. So if that's something that you think you might be interested in, and we will have a night, maybe a night out of a quarter, that we connect and just kind of talk about what we individually get from those books. Just another way of encouraging you to continue to move forward with change, to accept change, to acknowledge and become aware of the changes that are needed in your life. And, again, reading those books, we will be selective, and it helps you to get through the week as well. I mean, reading is motivating. If you select books properly, it becomes a very motivating tool. So we want to encourage that. And if you guys have some feedback, have some books that you want to recommend, please, please, please do so. That's very important. We want to read what you've read as well. So we all have something to share and to bring. So hold us up in that as we continue to go through with that new adventure. This week's topic is basically about complaining, grumbling, and complaining. So that's what we're talking about this week. And Tika called me with this topic, and I thought, interesting. You know, we never really think about how often we complain about things. And I think the reason is because we don't see it as maybe complaining. We don't acknowledge what it does, or we don't see what it does in our day-to-day lives as we move about. We don't really focus or tune in on the energy that it brings into our day. So after looking some things up and thinking about my own life and how sometimes it can be just the smallest thing that you may not even think you're complaining about, but even the smallest things, even today, you know, just things that just really don't matter in my life, and really I don't have to put thought process into it. There's so many other things to ponder on, to think on, and to talk about. So that's what it's about. The lines are open, so if anybody at any time, for you new listeners, you do not have to wait until the end of the show or until we are complete with what we go through on ours. So you can select the number one at any time if you have something to share. And for those of you who have been getting the post throughout the week, hopefully you've accounted for your complaints, whether it be today or last week. Hopefully you've recognized, wow, maybe this is part of my life and creating some energy in my life. So starting with that, it's first important to know that complaining does create certain type of energy in our lives. And I don't think we think about that, because we don't think about complaining. We don't think about energy and what it's doing to us and the people around us. But it does manifest also through our thoughts, through our words. And we talked about words have power last week. But that energy does come into effect or come into our world. We allow it to do so through the things that we say, our inner circle, that means the people that we are allowing in our lives, and our awareness. And a hot word for us tonight. I know that we're not talking about awareness, but awareness is a key word for this topic as it is for our topics. So basically, all the things that we complain about creates this energy in our lives, and it becomes that kind of negative energy, whether we want to admit it or not. It does become that negative energy. And I want to give you an example of just becoming aware of something and what it does after that. And I want you to think about this. Think about you buying a car. The minute we purchase a car and we're driving off of the lot, for me, and I think a lot of other people, this car, this particular car, instantly seems like everybody has it. Like from the minute you drive off of the lot, you start to see that same car. It may be a different color, but you start to see it everywhere, and you think, where did all these people come from with all these cars? Why did I not notice this before? And it could be that you've seen one before to make you want that car, or you saw it on TV, but when you purchase it, it really just seems like it is everywhere. Like it's just part of your life. The same happens when a friend or a loved one purchases a car. And this is important because the same thing happens. Someone can come by. This has happened to me. They'll come by wanting you to see their new car. And then the minute I leave the house, it's like that car is everywhere. I'm zoned in. It has created energy in my life. No different from the words that we say, the people in our lives, the complaining that we put out, the complaining that we listen to. It's a form of negativity, basically. It's a form of energy, negativity, and it does create that energy in our lives. Before moving any forward, I want to share something with you, and I have no idea where I got this from. I was doing some major cleaning over the weekend and going through some paperwork. So timely for me because I came across this, and I really want to share it with you all because it was a blessing to me on Saturday. And the title is Attitude, and it goes, there once was a woman who woke up one morning, looked in the mirror, and noticed she only had 3 hairs on her head. Well, she said, I think I'll braid my hair today. So she did, and she had a wonderful day. The next day she woke up, looked in the mirror, and saw that she had only 2 hairs on her head. She said, I think I'll part my hair down the middle today. So she did, and she had a grand day. The next day she woke up, looked in the mirror, and noticed that she had only 1 hair on her head. Well, she said, today I'm going to wear my hair in a ponytail. So she did, and she had a fun, fun day. The next day she woke up, looked in the mirror, and noticed that there wasn't a single hair on her head. Hooray, she exclaimed, I don't have to fix my hair today. Attitude is everything. And basically what that is saying is she took what she had and made the best of it. She started out with 3 strands. She braided it up. 2, she parts it down the middle. 1, she makes the ponytail. None, I'm thankful. I don't have to do hair today. And that's how we should start looking at life. I mean, we walk around, we complain, we grumble, and we have so much to be thankful for. We have food. We have a house. Today, tomorrow really doesn't matter because no one knows what tomorrow brings. So we don't enjoy today because we're complaining about tomorrow or things we have no control of. And the things we do have control over, we're complaining rather than doing something about them. So just a great, great, I wouldn't say a poem, but article that apparently someone gave me sometime or another because I ran across it on Saturday. So as you go throughout the day, think about that. And think about people who have cancer, people who have children. You know, we complain about our children as well, but thank God that we're not visiting our children in St. Jude, or our children are not sick and so forth. So it's so many things to be thankful about and for. So let's move right along. Tika, are you on with us?
I'm here.
Okay. You want to get in an introduction part before I move forward?
Yes, I do. I want, of course, we all know what grumbling and complaining is, but I just wanted to define that for you. The word complaining means to express negative feelings of pain, displeasure, dissatisfaction, or resentment. It's synonymous for being grouchy, grumbling, whining, griping, belly aching. To grumble means to complain somewhat pointlessly. Grumbling usually consists of merely bemoaning an unfortunate or unfair situation. So instead of attempting to come up with a solution, you grumble and complain about it. When Tammy asked or put out there on Facebook, just mentioning, you know, to keep record of your complaints, that's something that I said, okay, well, I'm going to do it too because, you know, we're not going to tell you to do something that we're not going to do ourselves. And I'm going to honestly tell you that I was very uneasy with myself because I found myself complaining way more than I thought I did. A lot of times, even if we're having a bad day or we don't get enough sleep, because they said the worst time to make any type of wise decision is when you're sleepy or when you're hungry. And so when you're sleepy or when you're extremely hungry, that creates a different mood in you altogether. And so any little thing will set you off. And even if you're not saying it out loud, I even logged when I was complaining in my head because just like Tammy said, because I wanted to build on last week's show too, we talked about how words have power. And so if our words are filled with complaint and complaint and complaint after complaint, That's power. I'm giving power to the things I don't like, to the things I don't want, to the things I don't need, to the things that I don't want to continuously manifest in my life, but I'm speaking power into my complaints. I'm speaking power into my grumbling. So what's going to come back for me or in life or what's going to manifest is simply all the things that I complain about. It almost sounds like, yeah, right, that makes no sense. Bottom line, words have power, whether they're positive words, whether they're negative words. We speak life into whatever it is we talk about. And so realizing, oh, wow, I'm speaking life into what I don't want. So there was times I kept my mouth shut, but then I realized I'm complaining in my mind. That's not really better because eventually that's going to come through my mouth. And so with grumbling and complaining, this is something that I hope our listeners and our followers tend to really let this sink in and let this soak in tonight, because it sounds like something so simple, yet it is something far, far greater than you could ever imagine. And I believe it's actually something that I prayed about, you know, because a lot of times we do pray on our future topics. It was something I prayed about, and it just stood out. It stood out in such a very enormous way for me when I, you know, because I continuously ask God to grow me and what is it that I need to know or what is it that I don't recognize in me that needs to be changed. And he pointed out complaining. And I'm thinking, I don't complain that much, do I? Oh, yes, I do. And so I'm no good in trying to help the next person if I won't allow God to point out the things in me that need changing. And you all, I mean, Scripture makes it very, very clear, and I'm going to let Tammy elaborate more, and then I'll feed in more about what Scripture has to say about it. But simply, what you don't know, Hosea 4:6 tells us, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. What you don't know will hurt you. What you don't know can kill you. What you don't know can destroy you. It's not, well, what I don't know won't hurt me. That's just the world saying. But we know, I'm sharing with you what God's saying is, what his word is. What you don't know will keep you from moving beyond any obstacle. Anything that you're trying to get through, you'll be stuck in that perpetual place simply because of what you don't know.
Thank you, Tika. And I also want to say a little bit more about that, what we don't know, because I think a lot of things, some things we do know and we choose not to deal with them. And sometimes it's about awareness as well. I mentioned that word earlier. You know, it's one thing to know, and it's another thing to make yourself aware and acknowledge that this is an issue in my life. And as simple as this seems, as simple as complaining and grumbling seems, I tell you, today was a different day for me. Not that I have really, really bad days, but it just seemed like more of a positive day, because I think even the smallest things that we just say out of the norm can lead to another big thing in complaining. So I found myself capturing those small little things that, again, has no value or had no value or would add no value in my life or the thing that I was talking about. So choosing your conversation, that's why we talk about choosing your inner circle, choosing just life, choosing those things that really do matter and make you who you are, okay? Because, again, that negativity and that complaining does create a certain type of energy in your life. So we do have a caller. Before I move on, I want to bring our caller in. And this is a repeat caller. I remember our Skype person, Mr. Shepherd. You're on air with us. How are you tonight?
Hey, Tammy and Tika. How are you ladies doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good evening.
You guys are doing a good job.
Thanks.
I love what you talked about when you used the car example. I did that one time. I wanted a trailer hitch for my car so I could pull a little lawnmower behind it. And before that, trailer hitches didn't mean a hill of beans to me. I didn't care. I didn't see them. I didn't look for them. But when I started focusing on trailer hitches, I'm not kidding you, everybody suddenly had a trailer hitch. And I bought one, and it wouldn't fit on my car, and it's just the particular model of car that I had just wasn't built for it. So I sent it back, and I got my money back. But my wife goes, man, I can't believe how much you're complaining, because I complained for probably 2 weeks because I'm like, everybody has a trailer hitch except me, you know? So what my comment is to your listeners is what these ladies are telling you, A, it's true, and B, this is the way God built us. Whatever you choose to put into your mind, and let me reiterate that, it's your choice what goes into your mind, unless you're a very, very young person who has no control over your immediate environment. That's a different situation. But you, by and large, you control everything that goes into your mind. This is the way God built you. Whatever goes into your mind is what you're going to perceive the world to be in terms of reality. And whatever that is, based on the books that you read, the circle of friends that you keep, the movies that you watch, whether or not you pray and meditate, all of these things, whatever you're putting in there, this is what's going to happen in your brain, and it's automatic. You will automatically look out into the world and seek things that justify that justify what it is that you're thinking. So if you think negatively about something, you're always going to look out into the world and search for something that reinforces what it is that you're thinking.
Yes.
Now, here's the key. This is the, and they're getting to this, and I know they're going to get to this stuff, but I got so excited. Here's the key. You don't understand how powerful God has really built you, people, because this applies to everyone. It doesn't matter what your IQ is, what color your skin is, what country you live in. Everybody has this power. So you need to be very aware of how powerful you really are, because whatever goes in is what's going to show up in your life, because whatever you put in is what you're going to continue to look for in your life. And what did she say? You heard what she said. My people perish for lack of wisdom. What that means is it's your job to fill your mind and your heart with information, with scripture, with positive things. You're the creator of your own reality. And I can't think of any deeper truth than that. I mean, it's amazing the way God built this thing, isn't it?
It is. It is.
You know, with everything you said, you know, I remember just reading, because I'm an avid reader. Tim and I, we both love reading. Sometimes we read too many books at one time, so that's not good, but we just want to get in so much at one time. So I'm like, oh, Tammy, I'm reading 3 books, or she'll tell me, okay, I'm on this book, but I started this one. But in what you were just saying, we view the world as a projection of who we are. It's coming from us. We cannot see a world that's beautiful when on the inside we feel hatred. We feel a demise in our life. We don't feel any type of joy. We can't recognize a beautiful world on the outside when we don't see that on the inside of us. And
that's
then
right.
If we are happy on the outside, we won't view the world as being ugly, because we view it from the standpoint of what's on the inside of us, what's within. That's how you see the world. And so that's why when everything on the outside of you is ugly, no type of change. And that's one thing I want to share with tonight's audience as well. No type of change in your life can come from the outside in. Change can only happen from the inside out. You can change your world, change your atmosphere, change your belongings, change all the material things, change your means, your finances. You can change all of those things. Give yourself the things, all the things that your eyes see and tell you that you want. You can obtain all of those things, but the inside of you will still be empty, broken, and dead, or still have that void or that hole on the inside.
I've been there.
And it is truly simply because, like I said, what we don't know. There's so much we don't know. And like you said, but what are we feeling in the areas, the things that we don't know, what are we feeling it with? What are we allowing our eyes to see? What are we allowing our ears to hear? The circle of influence that we involve ourselves with, what are we allowing our lives to absorb?
You know, I read something. This is so cool. You guys were talking about how important it is to read. I went to church this Sunday just for maybe 30 minutes. I didn't stay. I went and said hi to a few friends, sat in a book study for a little bit, and then I left. And all I caught was like maybe three paragraphs, but this one paragraph was so powerful, and it was simply this. The light of God shines on all of us. No one is excluded from that. The light of God shines on all of us. However, we get to choose whether the light of God shines through us.
Oh, that's good.
And that's where our decision-making comes in. And what I pictured in my mind, because I'm sort of a scientific, sort of a thinking person, but then I can sort of go, you know, over to the spiritual realm. I kind of try to do both if I can. As I pictured a prism, if you remember in science class, it's that little triangular thing. It's clear. It's, you know, they can be maybe 3 or 4 inches long. And when you shine a light through them, the spectrum of light comes out the other side, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
That's what that is. So picture this. God is the light that you shine into the prism. Okay, that's just picture God as being the light. You're the prism. You're the thing that the light flows through. Now imagine that light hitting the prism on one side, but you've taped up the other side, and you're blocking the light's ability to shine out the other side. You're never going to see the colors of the rainbow, people.
Nothing goes through.
You got to let the light of God shine. And I don't. When I say the light of God, we get so hung up in that, and we think, oh, he's talking about the Bible and Jesus. You know what? If that stuff doesn't click for you, plug in whatever clicks for you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's wisdom in that for everybody. So don't get hung up on words, you know. Oh, well, you're talking some of that crazy whatever, you know. Well, he must be a Baptist. Now get rid of those labels. This light doesn't have a label. It's just God.
You just gotta
let it flow.
And you are so right. And I've just been quiet because it's times like these that when people come on and share things, it allows Tika and I to be fed. And it's ironic because tonight's one of those nights I wanted to just say, I don't have a lot to say because I kind of need to be fed myself tonight. And so thank you for that. And I'm just sitting here journaling or writing as you talk. And when you said the key is God, you know, God has given all of us that power. And it reminds me of the scripture, and I'll say the words, that says we have this form of godliness, but there's so much power out there that we are denying because we are not letting that light shine through us, as you said. And
yep.
I've been on that for months now. We're missing something. This can't be all it is to it. And it's not. It's just all that I've allowed to shine through me. And
yes.
So awesome that you say we all have that same option. He has provided that access to everyone. No one is too far from him. No one has did too much. Nothing can keep us from that, only us. So I have in my notes, too, about that light. In a dark room, you turn on a candle, you turn on a flashlight, what becomes the focus? That light. So the smallest amount of change, as small as or as simple as or as elementary as this sounds to be talking about grumbling and complaining, you will be surprised, people, tomorrow, because it's going to be on your mind. Every time
you
think, we put it out there now. We have put it out there. And it's going to be on your mind even tonight when you go to complain. Think about marriages. How many marriages probably have broken up because someone is nagging and complaining too much about things that really don't matter? And it's because of those things that we internalize, but then externally we're giving you something else. And complaining and grumbling really does amount to how you feel about you, how you feel about life. You think life has given you the wrong road. Basically, you've decided to travel that wrong road because it's a choice. It's like I call it that. It is a choice. So, I mean, all of that is just so, so on topic and so fulfilling for me tonight because, again, I'm at a – and not that anything's wrong. It's just sometimes you want to hear it from someone else. You want to hear someone else's perspective of the certain topic because, you know, we study it, we read upon it and all that, but just to hear somebody bring that fresh perspective feeds us.
It's cool because I'm 43 years old and I'm getting to a place, and I don't mean this in terms of if you're 20, you got to wait till you're 40. Everybody's in a different place. We're all in a different place. There's a few people in this world that just come into this world with a ton of wisdom inside of them. They're pretty rare, but there's a few of them out there. But by and large, you know, most of us seem to kind of follow a slightly similar path as far as the timeline is concerned. But at the ripe old age of 43, I am in a spot where God is, this is what God's been feeding me lately, simplicity, because there's a movement called the minimalist movement, and for whatever reason, and it's because of what I've been feeding my mind, and my mind's looking out into the world for things that match that, minimalism and simplicity are really what's in my heart here, and I've been incorporating it into my financial teachings. But the thing is we get so wrapped up, and we want to make it so complex. This is where the devil hides, and I don't mean that in a negative, you know, spiritual, religion. All I mean is that's where the negativity hides. You've heard the devil is in the details. Your ego wants you to think that what we're talking about is complex and multi-layered, and you're never going to figure it out. It's the total opposite. It's very, very simple.
Yeah.
It's very, very simple. And I love what you said about the light and the dark. I once heard someone say, for example, sin is not a thing. It is the absence of something. And I thought, okay, let's talk about light and dark. That's another analogy for sin and non-sin. Darkness is not a thing. Darkness is simply the absence of light.
Of light.
That's all it is. But, you know, we connotate it with a lot of evil and, you know, a lot of other things. So just think of it that way. You know, the light of God is shining on all of us, but we get to choose whether it shines through us. And I don't care what your religion is. You are not excluded from this. This is the process known as God. This is the way God built this thing, this system, if you want to call it, the way that it works. And no matter what you do or don't think about that process known as God, it does not change its nature. God's nature does not change based on what you do or don't believe about God.
Right. I agree.
Regardless of what book you read, you know, up to and including the big one, you know, I mean,
right.
God is God. It doesn't matter what I do or don't think about God. That's not going to change the nature of God.
Wow.
You guys are hot tonight. I'm telling you, this chat room should be slap full, and I see three people. But you know what? I'm like this. You ask me to show up and talk to some people, you give me the janitor. My classroom's a broom closet. I'm going to teach somebody something. I'm going to tear the microphone up. Somebody's going to learn something up in here.
We agree with you, and that's why, you know, it's not about the numbers. We continue to grow, but it is about those people that continuously come in and listen, and we see them making
speaking
those changes.
Home.
And
yep.
And I'm hearing
some
from people
really
all over. And so we're reaching those people who are really ready for that light, as you said, to shine through.
Yep. So. You guys are awesome. I feel the same way. Quality. We have been fed quantity for so many years in this country, and it is killing us. It is killing us as a nation. We are addicted to thinking we need to constantly grow everything from our houses to our bank accounts to the size of our church. Oh, Greg, you didn't just say that. Yes, I did just say that because it needed to be said. Okay? Simplicity. Get rid of some stuff. Scale things down. Clear some of the junk out of the way so some light can shine through so you can see it, because there's some stuff blocking your vision. That's all it is. If you're staring directly at the light known as God and you're wondering, why isn't God showing up in my life? What do you think happens? There's too much shadow in your life. There's too many things in front of you that are blocking the light from coming into your vision. And you look down and you see this shadow. There's light behind that object. That's what the darkness is, people. And we look down and we get distracted by this shadow known as complaining, grumbling, bankruptcy, divorce, war, famine, all these other things. That's what causes the darkness in our lives.
It is. You know, Greg, when I think of just say you're just going to clean up a room or just do some cleaning or some spring cleaning in your house, and when you start removing stuff, getting it out completely, meaning you're not going to just put it in another spot, cleaning meaning removing it out of your house, taking it somewhere, giving it away, or throwing it away. When you clean up that room, don't you feel so much better once you clean an area of your home or clean your car or just go clean it because you're clearing the clutter? We need that same type of cleaning, of mental cleaning. We need that same type of mental cleansing just to remove stuff, not to move it around or shift it around and put it somewhere else because we're going to use it later. No, we need to get rid of so much junk. that is just, it's a distraction.
It's not only the
distraction from God, but it's blocking, like you said, it blocks his light.
I'm telling you, man, you've got me fired up because that's a spot that I've been in. Think about this. Listen to me. It doesn't mean that this is the only word out there. You know, Tammy and Tika do an amazing job. This doesn't mean this is the only place you can be fed, but if you're listening, this just happens to be the place that you're being fed right now. We don't have a corner market on this stuff. We just hang out and talk, and hopefully something good comes out of it. But think about this. Everything in your life, and I mean everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything that shows up in your life, you have a choice. It can either remind you of the power and the awesomeness and the beauty and the majesty known as God, or you can go the other way. You can grumble and complain and go, this sucks, I hate my life, I don't have enough, I want more. You get to choose. It's either dark or light. Doesn't matter. But think about this. She just said it. Everything, and I believe this includes the good and the bad, everything is a distraction. Because think about this. If we're talking about oneness, we're talking about the one known as God, anything that is separate from that is duality or separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we talk about we worship money? That's separation. That's duality. We talk about worshiping things, whatever it is that distracts us from God. Anything that is outside of the oneness known as God is duality or separation. So anything in your life can be a distraction from remembering your oneness with the Creator. Everything can be a distraction, including reading books. I mean, I could hold myself up in my house and become an intellectual hermit, and plenty of people have done it, and shut everything out of my life, including the power of God, and do nothing but gain knowledge with something that seems
to
be good.
You gotta be careful not to do that. Yeah.
You do. It's all about balance.
Proper balance.
Yeah, I'm one of those, you know, I get a hold of something, man, I just want to just run the wheels off of it because it's so cool. And my wife's like, you need to throttle it down a little bit, chill, balance, you know. You know how we get.
Balance. And that's a lot of what it is with out of balance, like you were saying, simplicity. God's word, everything that he teaches is so simple. We make it complex, but it's so simple. But, Greg, I also think that in a way, but say, if you have such a negative spirit about yourself, I also think that because we are energy, we're human beings, but we are energy. We are made, you know, in energy as well. I believe that our negativity just attracts more negative people, items, things, circumstances. I believe that we just attract more of it to us.
We do.
It's like an energy pool that we just attract more to us, and it just continually causes us just to just continuously complain. We wonder, why is this all that I see in my life? And then you complain about that, and then you complain so much that one day, that's all you're going to get tomorrow, that's all you're going to get next week, that's all you're going to get next month. But it's because that's all you do. You just attracted more of it to you.
Oh, you know what?
That the change has to start from the inside out.
You just opened up a can of worms. Let's not go too far off on this rabbit trail, because I have a really bad habit of doing that. Just very quickly, you just talked about it. We attract to us what is likened to us. In other words, if I'm thinking negative, I'm going to draw negative to me, right? Think about this.
Exactly.
How many books have you read in your life? How many movies have you been spoon-fed that say, in the area of romance, opposites attract? Guess what, people? I got some bad news for you. No, they don't.
Same.
That's not how the universe works.
Like
attracts like. So if you're married, and it's all fine and good for a couple of months, and then the honeymoon's over, and then all of a sudden, he changed. Oh, she's a different person. No, she's not. No, he's not. Everybody just decided to quit being kind of fake. And, I mean, we all go through that. It's the early stage of a relationship. We kind of, you know, do things to sort of get along and go along. And then all of a sudden, the real us shows up. And everybody's standing around shocked and dismayed, wondering why this person changed like a Jekyll and Hyde. No, that's what you attracted to you. So whatever you're seeing,
that's who you are, right?
Whatever is showing up in front of you, including the person you're looking at and telling I love you, and this includes Greg too, that's who you attracted to you. Guess what? That's what you have inside of you. And you can divorce that person, you can leave them, and you can go, I'm going to go find.
You'll attract another one.
You're going to get the same thing, and you wonder why you've been married five times.
Mm-hmm. And why you're complaining all day about everything.
That's the reason why I brought it up, because this is an area that people complain so much about. You know, my wife, my husband, blah, 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 please.
Yeah. And that's just a spinning wheel. It just never ends.
Oh, that's scary,
but it never ends. But that's a wheel I don't want to ride. I don't want to ride that wheel.
Yeah.
The never-ending wheel of consistent, chronic complaining.
You know, one of the funniest things about life is, and I don't bemoan or begrudge anybody who does professional therapy. It has its place. I'm not putting it down. But what I always say is, you know what? I'm not going to spend $90 an hour laying on a black leather couch being shrunk by somebody for 20 years in therapy. Let me give you a hint, okay? If you want to know what you need to work on, whatever upsets you the most. God built it that way. God said, I'm going to make this so easy that you're going to automatically and instantly know what you need to work on. That's why I gave us emotions. So whatever makes you angry, whatever hacks you off, that's what you need to work on. You don't need to pay somebody $90 an hour to tell you that.
That's good. I agree.
Strip it down. Peel the onion.
Yes, I heard it being said, whatever, say when it comes to helping, you know, the brethren, or helping mankind, whatever disturbs you the most is what you were put here to do something about. It's what you were put here to create change. It's what you were put here to turn around, to help change.
Yeah.
Whatever disturbs you, whatever puts that knot in your stomach to where it just disgusts you, when you look out into the world and just says, oh, you know, don't talk about it. Do something about it. So many people talk about it. That's not a part of the solution, talking about it. And complaining is grumbling, is talking about it. With no solution in mind, you just want to talk about it. You want to talk about what they should do or how it should have been taken care of or how it needs to be changed, but you're not a part of the solution. So if you're not going to be a part of the solution, if most people, including me, would just zip it, if I don't want to be a part of the solution, I don't need to put my two cents on or my two cents in it.
Yeah. Boy, if everybody would take what you just said into their heart, we could end racism just like that. Could we not?
Yes.
Instantly. Gone.
Yes.
Bye-bye. All those people making money off of all that hate, all those people making money off of human suffering, of racism, those people just went out of business.
Gone.
That sounds like a revolution of the mind, doesn't it? Sounds like a revolution of the heart, doesn't it?
Super easy. Super easy.
Yeah.
We make it hard.
Man. You guys are on fire. All right, I'm going to shut up. It's been 25 whole minutes. I'm going to be quiet now.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Thank
you. You guys are good. Thank you.
Thank you, and continue to support us because, again, it does help Tika and I to get different perspectives. So thank you. Please continue to listen and share your thoughts. Don't hold back.
Rock and roll, ladies. I got you followed. You're on my radar.
Thank you.
Hey, Tammy, I wanted to share a scripture before you proceed on just in the topic, of course, but I wanted to share a quick scripture. Is that okay?
Uh-huh.
It says in Numbers 14, 26-34, God said to the people, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmurs against me? As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do you. Your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wonder, and ye shall know my breach of promise. And that's Numbers 14:26-34. The phrase my breach of promise is only used once in the Word of God, but it came about as a result of the congregation's incessant murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining means with the breach of promise, that alienated God from them. It neutralized what he could do in their life. It made it to where it took his effect from them. Murmuring, complaining, griping, grumbling, it neutralizes the plan of God from coming to pass in your life. It prevents him from doing what he has already planned to do, but it prevents him. And this right here prevented the Israelites from entering into the promised land, their constant, consistent murmuring and complaining. And so many of us know that story. And I'm not going to say so many of us because a lot of people don't know the story in the Bible. But the whole generation of the murmurers and complainers, they had to die off. Their children were able and allowed to enter the promised land. But God was done. He was done because it was consistent. They spoke against him. They spoke against all he had done, and they didn't trust him. Murmuring, complaining, it means that I don't trust you, Lord. I don't trust you, Lord. I don't trust what your word says. I don't trust what you can do. I don't trust what you say. I don't trust that you can fix it. I don't trust that you can make things better. I don't trust that you can turn this around. I don't trust it. I don't believe it. I'm going to complain about it. But when you complain, you're not just complaining to the air. You're complaining against God. You're complaining against your creator. You're complaining against the one that created you. You're complaining against all that he has created. You're complaining against your future. You're complaining against the things that you expect. You're keeping it from neutral. You're keeping it from coming to pass. You're keeping it from manifesting. It blocks his promise. His promises are going to exist no matter what, but they're blocked for you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
That's large to me.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about distractions. I know you guys brought up the distractions, and I'm just kind of led to focus a little bit, and we're going to get back to the topic, but really, you all understand complaining and grumbling, so you get the concept of that. So I feel like wherever we move with this is just where we're supposed to be. But when you talk about distractions, and I'm going to share, we got a few people in the chat line, and I want to share what they said as well. But let's talk about distractions for just a minute, because the distractions, I think, are put there, or we allow them there, whatever the reason, they're here. And the more things we seem to get out of life, the more things become accessible to us. We want more, and more seems to be created. I look at the number of people, I cannot leave the house, and by the time I get to or off of my street, probably every 4 out of 5 cars are on the phone. Children are in the back seat. Children now have separate videos. I mean, you have 2 children in car seats, and each one could be looking at something different. In a world that says we have no money, you have 2 DVDs in your car, and you're on the phone, and so on. So there are so many distractions to we rarely have time to really just think. And when we are thinking, we're complaining and we're grumbling and we are not satisfied and all these things. So when you talk about decluttering your life, and one of our members that are listening on the chat line with us has made a comment about this. She says, my minister preached about clutter, and you're so right. Get rid of things that take up unnecessary space in your life. I say things, I say people, I say a lot of stuff. When you say declutter, it's not just about cleaning and things like that. It is also, it has a lot to do with your life, the people you allow in your life, the things that they bring to your life. If you have a negative person that is complaining or a complainer that you sit and listen to all day, it truly brings no value to your life. I used to sit on the phone and talk to people about a certain person or a certain thing all day long. And I would get off the phone with that person and go right to another person who would really sit and listen to my foolish talk. And by the end of the day, this person has consumed, a person's or thing has consumed so much of me until I have nothing else to give. So, and the people that were listening to me, as I was going to say, birds of a feather flock together. They may not have the same exact feather as I did, but we were all in the same pot. They had some stuff going on to sit there and listen to me all day, as I did as well. So these things that seem simple in your life, or it seems like they're not an issue to you, because some people might think complaining and grumbling, what is there to talk about? I mean, really, but we need to make ourselves aware of these things. So I want to share some more stuff that's in the chat line. Sometimes we can make our own lives miserable. The more you complain, the more you feel what you do have is not enough, when some people might not have even half as much as we do. So true. You know, we spend so much time complaining about this and that and the other, and we don't see what we have. We want, like your egg was saying, we want a bigger house. We want another car because we've driven off the lot, and now we see 1,000 people right in the same zip code has that same car. So now we want another car. Clothes, that's one that I'm working on, not buying so many clothes and things like that. So find out, like he said, the minimal, simple, simplicity, and minimal. If we can get back to that life, boy, I think we'll be much better people. Much better people. So, let's see. We have another thing here in the chat line. Like the old saying, you pray if you're gonna worry and complain. Why pray if you're gonna worry and complain? So true as well. But again, I think people don't realize that or they don't take it as complaining. They don't look at it as being negative and complaining. So, I want to check. The line to see if we have anybody. The lines are open for those of you who are listening on the phone with us or by phone with us. Okay. Just want to share a little bit more on awareness, and we're going to move on. I'm going to just kind of go through this outline because we're not going to keep you long. We only have about 40 minutes left in the show tonight. But awareness, basically some words that mean the same as awareness is mindfulness, attentiveness, and responsiveness. And I've kind of pondered on that a little bit today. Mindfulness, attentiveness, and responsiveness. Now, this is what I got out of it after just kind of letting it soak into me, is when we are, I think about myself, if I'm being mindful, if I have mindfulness, attentiveness, and responsiveness, and that all has to do with awareness. And we've stated that in order for you to make any move, you've got to become aware and acknowledge what's happening with me. Why am I here? And do I want to continue down this road? When I think about mindfulness, attentiveness, and responsiveness, what that says to me is I'm minding, meaning mindfulness, and attending, attentiveness, and responding to me, which is the responsiveness. I am responsible for me. And if I don't attend to what's going on with me, then there's nothing I can do for me or you. So this is all self-awareness is basically self-improvement. It's what you need in order to self-improve. You got to acknowledge it, and then you got to work consistently to change it. And as we've said, when you stop grumbling and complaining, watch your circle become you're going to have few people because you have attracted, you're going to attract those people who do
what
the same, enjoy that company. So when you start to change and start to move your mind to a different location, and complaining and grumbling sets up envy and strife. Envy is just another form of jealousy. It's like the person in the chat line says, it makes you not appreciative of what you do have. So you're thinking, oh, I want what that person has, or I'm not satisfied with what I have. I don't like this life. When you have everything that you need. So I want to share with you, I'm going to jump a little ahead of my notes here because for the sake of time, we first need to realize that complaining also, again, it becomes a deep-rooted habit. It really, really does. It becomes a habit that before you know it, you're gone with it. It becomes just part of your day. So I wanted to share with you a day in complaining. And I think sometimes before we get out of the bed, we've already complained. And listen to this. This is just kind of what I thought a day of complaining would be. And kind of listen to see if you see yourself in this. I don't want to get up today. Now, this is before you've gotten out of bed. I don't want to get up today. I don't feel like going to work today. I don't feel like cooking any breakfast, but I'm hungry. I don't have anything to wear. I can't find my shoes. I don't feel like driving. I'm so sick of this traffic. I'm so sick of these people and my boss. I hate this job. I guess I'm going to go to lunch. Why are all these people at McDonald's? Why can't they go somewhere else? Man, I don't feel like going back to work. I'm just going to sit in my car and eat my lunch. This burger is so nasty. I guess I'll go inside and eat my burger. I'm so ready to get off work and go home. I don't feel like driving home and dealing with this traffic. I can't believe it's raining. Was it supposed to rain today? These people cannot drive in the rain. And once you get home, the second phase, I call it the second phase of complaining from the time you walk in the door. And now, just listen at that. What have you did in your day? How many positive things have you acknowledged if you wake up with, boy, I don't feel like getting up? And we're guilty of it. We're guilty of it. I had to train myself to, when I open my eyes, the first thing I do is I cite the Lord's Prayer. So that has replaced my complaining, because it used to be, oh, I don't want to get up today. But that's something, that's a small thing that you could do, is when you open your eyes, say the Lord's Prayer or whatever works for you. But that's just how small we can start off. That is just how small we can start off. So that was a day in complaining. We do have some more people that have said some things. The chat line is kind of blowing up tonight. I'm going to check the phone line here. So for those of you who are listening by the phone, the chat people are taking over tonight, but the lines are open, and I'm going to go and read some of the things off of the chat. Let's see here. We have, this is Dee Dee again. It is being caught up in these worldly things that make us not grateful as well as greedy. It makes us greedy. And that goes back to what we were saying with distractions. This is our Shepherd, Gary Shepherd again. Fashion, what is the purpose? To decorate our inauthentic lives. So true. Cleaning house includes people, places, and things. And then they said they're signing off. So that was Gary. And Dee Dee says again, I agree with that. You will find that you have to have a peace of mind and less stress, okay, so, and drama-free. And that's what complaining and grumbling does. It creates stress in your life. You don't see it as that or acknowledge it as that. But just as I went through that day of complaining, what else could that do? It certainly can't bring any positive things in your life, because everything is coming out, everything you're seeing is negative. You start to see people as negative when it's really you. It's really those unfulfilled hopes, dreams, desires, disappointments, all those things that you have internalized while trying to externalize something else, something that you're not. Like we talked about the cake box last week. You have this picture-perfect cake with the wrong ingredients. So when someone, you know, gets you out, fixes you up, they're going to, like Gary said earlier, our previous caller, they're going to see the real deal. Because you're gonna have to let that person out pretty soon. So grumbling and complaining really does affect your life. Tika, I'm gonna do a quick check if you wanna jump in. I'm gonna check the phone lines again.
What I wanted to bring to it is we know how grumbling and complaining will close after we share every block God's light. It closes the doors to Him. But I also wanted to bring to mind that grumbling and complaining does open another door. We don't realize how grumbling and complaining, it opens the doors for Satan in. It's like you welcome him in. If you're doing and contradicting everything that God has shared with what you should do, or how, you know, your words have power, in turn, when you're doing opposite or going against, or your actions are disobedient against what he's telling you, you're then opening another door for different attacks to come into your life, or a different form of negativity to come, but one more powerful than you realize. I don't even know where that scripture is. I don't know where it is, but just off the top of my head, I remember reading the scripture that cleaning house, when that person has taken the steps to be renewed and they've repented and they're wanting to live a right life and a better life, and they clean house, meaning that they've released the negativity, they've released the bondages that have held them captive, and they've released the satanic influences in their life. When that devil is removed from you because you've cleaned house and you're walking on the path to where you're finding time with God, finding time for God, putting yourself in the surroundings to learn and gain more. But, however, something gets you off track or throws you off, doubt begins to build, and you just go right back onto the same track that you came from. It says that devil, once it recognizes your house is no longer clean and you've opened that door to let him back in, not only does he come back, but he brings seven more with him, more vile and more hateful and more vicious than he is. And so that can kind of sound like, oh, yeah, right, I'm not going to doubt God's word. I don't have anything else to compare to say it's real or it's not real, so I'm going to believe it. And it makes sense to me because when I tell you, when I walk through a day and I'm thankful and I'm grateful and I realize that I'm too blessed to be stressed and I don't let Satan tempt me with someone coming at me saying something ugly or somebody cutting me off on the road or somebody, because anytime someone comes at me in an ugly way or ugly behavior, I don't look at them and just say, oh, why are they attacking me? Why are they attacking me as a person? I realize, okay, something's going on with them. Something has really hurt them. Something at home, either someone has hurt them at home or they're still dealing with childhood issues. I know that no matter what, that hurting person that has come and gone off on me, it's something deeper. It's not just me. I just added to whatever it is they're going through. But when you put it all together and you start walking with God, it just makes you want to have a right foot in the door. It makes me, Tammy mentioned, Tammy mentioned when we talked just a few days ago, she says it's like my circle is getting smaller. And I laughed and I said, what circle? I don't have the circle of friends that I used to have. I still have love in my heart for all the people that were my friends, but that's not the circle of influence that I fit in anymore. Not that I don't want to, but if I desire to grow in a certain direction and I realize, well, if I sit over here, that's going to stop me from growing. I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder my growth. I pray and I would love for older friends or older circumstances or my older circle of influence, I would love for them to say, well, I want to come in and go here because the direction I'm going in is not anything that's going to be detrimental to your health. It's not the wrong road. It's not taking the road of back, like the old backsliding, but I'm taking a road because I'm seeking wholeness. I'm taking this road because I'm tired of being broken on the inside. I'm taking this road because I'm tired of all the unanswered questions. I'm taking this road because I want real joy. I don't want to pretend that I have joy. And I'm taking this road because I finally realized that this life is more than just about me. And I'm realizing that I didn't create me. And so it makes me yearn for something different or something other than some career choices that I had as a kid or some dreams that I had as a kid. Some of those things are down deep still in me, but I have a desire all of a sudden to see, well, God, is that what you want for me? Is that what you have for me? Is that what you wanted for me all along? I have a desire to know what's important to him too, because I want to be on his track. I want to be on his road. I want to be in accord with what he has for me, because I already know where my road is going to take me on all the things that I want for me. And I don't like where my choices and my desires and those roads that I wanted, I don't like where those roads have taken me. So it's taken me to 41 to get on the road of saying, I don't want it my way. I want to find out what God's way is. And then I want to elaborate a little bit more when Tammy was, you know, just talking about clutter. You know, we have, it's like this, the society we live in now, it just has a desire to just want more and more and more and more. So the more that you buy, the more, you know, I know several gadget-crazed people. And some gadgets are kind of fun. I've never really just always been a gadget-crazed person because they're kind of fun, but my mind just gets excited about other things. So I don't see buying new gadgets. It doesn't excite me the same way, but that's just my preference. But the more things you buy and the more things you have, they keep you busy. They keep you so busy. They keep you so distracted. They keep you so not only do they keep you super busy to where you don't have time for God. You have a temptation in you saying, buy more, buy more, buy more, get more, obtain more, grab more, go get more. And you just have this desire telling you you need more. And all those things keep you extremely distracted. It distracts you. Not only it distracts you from God, so you don't have that oneness with God. You don't hear the clarity from God. You don't get the direction from God. And then not only can you not hear him, but how do you guide and lead your family when you're not getting guidance and a leading discernment from him? You don't know how to guide your children because you blocked that connection with him because you got so much stuff in your life, and you got to make time for this, and you got to make time for that, and you got to make time for all these things, and it keeps you so busy. You don't have 5 minutes for God. You don't have 10 minutes for God. You have no meditation time, no time to even read one chapter in the Bible, or let alone one chapter, one page in the Bible. People say, I don't have time to read the Bible, or I don't have time to get up and too busy, I can't get up in the morning and devote some time to God, or I can't devote time to him right before I go to bed, or I can't cut out time in the middle of my day because I got to do this, and I got to pick the kids up, and I got to go to work, and I got to go to gym, and I got to, you have to do everything. But how is it that we have so much time to make time for everything that we want, but we never have time to spend time with the one who's going to help us to stay on track? And to help us get out of life what life is really all about. Life is not about getting more things, getting more stuff, having more stuff. The world says it is. But like we keep saying over and over and over, everything the world says contradicts what the word says. And the world will just have you wanting stuff, and it will keep you stuck. And it's full of lies. It's full of lies. And in keeping it simple, the Bible is simple. It is very simple. All that stuff distracts your time and your effort, your moments, and your meditation time with God. There's no such thing as meditation time because you're too busy.
Thank you, Tika. Also, just to get back on a little bit of what you said, we also, when we are distracted in those things, as you said, it does keep us away, but really, really, take a look at this. The more you go out and get, the more you seem to want. The more we complain, the more there seems to be to complain about. We are so focused on just getting, getting, getting. And listen and look at the people who have. Look at all these stars who have one divorce after another. They're complaining about one thing after another, and they have enough money. One, two, three, four, five of them have enough money to solve probably this so-called crisis that we're in, so-called crisis that we're in, because people are still doing and buying what they're still doing what they want to do and buying what they want to buy regardless. That's how I look at that. But look at the people who have, and see if there's a major difference. You're trying to get what they have, and they are in the same place internally that you are. So money doesn't do it. The new house doesn't do it. The new car does not do it. The new dress that you have, 50 new dresses in the closet, that doesn't do it. It comes a time where you have to get down and say, I'm going to become aware of what I have internalized that's making me continue to complain day after day, that I'm grumbling about, that I'm choosing to complain and grumble but not do anything about it. And most of the things that you complain about, again, you cannot control. You cannot change, and you cannot control. How can you control the rain? How can you control the weather, the traffic, other than going a different way? And if you're not going to do that, then find a positive way to get through it. Tika mentioned the traffic and someone pulling out in front of you. I noticed the other day how, and this made me think about how we are as people, how we are in our worldly state. We're just corrupt. If you just need to be honest with yourself, the worldly Tammy is just corrupt. And I find myself battling the new Tammy, battling with the old Tammy quite often, because sometimes you just want to go back to that worldly Tammy, and sometimes life and circumstances make you feel that way. But in driving, I noticed this happens a lot. You probably can really relate to this. When you're driving and someone's in the fast lane and they're going a bit slow, the minute they become aware, awareness, remember this word, that you are trying to go around them, mind you, they weren't worrying about getting anywhere quicker than they were, you know, before you decided to go around them. But when you decide to go around them, they instantly, I feel like, for the most part, and some people really just, you catch them off guard and they say, oh, let me get over. Now, there's a few cases of that. But for the most part, these people take on this defensive attitude and mode, and how dare you go around me, and who do you think you are, and you're not going to go around me, and they speed up. And it's about you going around them. If you don't think that that's something internalized, and to add on to that, the same day, within a matter of 30 minutes, someone was trying to get over, and I flicked my lights to say, and motioned for them to come over. The lady just, she probably should have just stopped and just gave me a kiss, because she looked so surprised. She rolled her window down, and she just kept waving to say thank you. But people don't expect you to do nice things anymore. People just don't look for that. And so just imagine if we all started to be, well, started to complain a little less, grumble a little less, be thankful a little more, that might change our attitudes, our perception of life, and maybe when someone wants to go around us because we are going a little bit slow, instead of getting angry, we will kind of motion to say sorry about that as we move over, or if someone wants to get over, we will let them over, because the word also tells us do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. But we're walking around with all this godliness without any power, but we're conformed. We are conformed to the patterns of this world. We're wanting more. We're grumbling more. We're complaining more. How different are we?
Right.
And it is because of that light Gary was talking about earlier. We all have access to it. It's shining on us. That's a good analogy. But if we allow it to shine through us, it's totally up to us. So think about your natural state or your worldly state, who we are, and that's who you have to continuously work to renew. That's the mind that you continuously have to renew. So just as we're asking you to capture those thoughts that you no longer want part of your life, you capture those thoughts and you make a decision that this is not part of me. This is not who I am. Grumbling, being negative, complaining is not part of me. It produces no fruit in my life. And again, we have so much. None of us know what tomorrow brings. I can sit in here thinking I'm healthy, whole, and happy. I could be gone tomorrow. So can you. And the person that is worried about, you know, who's sick or think tomorrow may be my day, tomorrow might be all of our day.
Mm-hmm.
We never know. So stop complaining. Live life. Simplicity, minimal, be thankful. The things you complain about that you can change, stop complaining. Come up with a plan to change them. The things that you cannot change, have no control over, the people, stop complaining about it. Because you have to see what it's doing in your life. So tomorrow, tonight, think about it. Capture those complaints. Capture that grumbling. You know, as I was doing this search, there is a site, and I'll have to try to remember what it was. I thought I wrote it down, but there is a site that sells complaint. It's a 501c3 organization, nonprofit organization, and they have started this huge thing where they want to get 1%, which is about 6 million people, I think, to dedicate their lives to be complaint-free. And they have the little bracelets that once they complain, they have to switch it over to the other arm. So it reminds you of complaining. And if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. If some people may need the bracelet. I say you can do it on your own as well. But nice things like that are good to support. So there are actually people working and realize that this has become an issue in our lives and it creates negativity in our lives. So work to change that. first, again, recognize that it becomes a habit, and it will take some time to break, because you'll find yourself even in the smallest areas complaining about something that really has no relevance in life, and it won't change a thing. And as you work to change, you know, remember, pennies make dollars, and I know that for sure. There's times where I've had to count pennies so that I could have dollars, but pennies make dollars, and I say that to say the smallest change makes the biggest difference. And sometimes you don't see that. Oftentimes we don't see our change. I think I got a glimpse of change about a week ago. It just felt different. I thought, wow, I've grown in this area. It's almost like you're planting a flower, and one day you walk out and you think, when did it grow? You know, when did that happen? Or you haven't seen a child in a long time, and you see them for the first time in a long time, and they seem like they've grown. That's how change is. All of a sudden, you realize when that is put before you or something comes up, you realize that I didn't respond the way I would have. I didn't internalize it the way I would have. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have some more flowers to bloom, because I certainly do. But, you know, when you get a glimpse of that light that has come, that you've allowed to shine through you, when you get a glimpse of that, that is powerful, and it motivates you to move on. So I say stop for a minute and think about what in your life, pick that one thing in your life that you find yourself complaining about, whether it's I don't want to go to work, I'm tired. That's another big one. People say I'm tired all the time, and I'm thinking, really? You know, not saying that we don't ever get tired, but think about how many times you say that. So think about that one thing. It could be I don't want to go to work. It could be traffic. I don't want to cook. So think about simple things. Instead of saying I don't want to cook, I'm thankful that I have food to cook. I don't want to go to work. I'm thankful that I have a job in this day and time to go to work. So we can always, you know, I'm sick of this traffic. I'm thankful that I have a car to drive, because there are people standing at the bus stop. When it rains, they don't have an option. That's their method of transportation. They can't jump out of the house, leave the house and jump into their car. They have to walk to the bus stop. So for everything you're complaining about, that negative, be thankful for your positive. So when you feel that negative coming in, what is my positive for this? And as you start to remind yourself of that, you will find life and the day just seems more positive. You seem a little lighter. So when someone pulls out in front of you, you've not complained all day from the time you woke up, your eyes open. You've not created all that negative energy, so you don't take it out on this person instantly. So self-talk, motivate yourself. Acknowledge that it is a habit that needs to be broken. You have to work to break it. It won't happen overnight. So give yourself some leeway there, but continue to work at it. And that's through acknowledging that you are a complainer. Capture those thoughts, capture those complaints. And once you do, remind yourself that it just won't work here. And work to become a complaint-free person and focus on your positives, the things that you have that you can be thankful for. Because, again, people, we should all be complaint-free. At the end of the day, if we wake up on this side of the dirt and we have a place that, even if we don't have a place to wake up in, I mean, the article that I started out with, if you could wake up and say, I have 3 strands of hair and I'm going to braid it, and the next day I have 2, I'm going to part it down the middle, and the next day I have 1, I'm going to make a ponytail, and the next day I have none, thank God I don't have to do my hair today. People really have to do that. There are people with cancer that lose their hair. And we don't want to comb my hair sometimes. That's another one. I don't feel like doing my hair. Think about the people that lose their hair due to radiation. You can find some good in everything, in every situation. So in my closing, I just say that as small as this seems, it will make the biggest difference in your life. Start tomorrow. Start tonight. You know, when you wake up, when your eyes open up tomorrow, thank God that you see another day. for those of you that the Lord's Prayer will work for, recite it before you get out of bed. It's simple, it's easy, and it says a lot. So think about these things that we've talked about tonight. I hope that you've received something from tonight's show, as we do all of our shows. It is about dying to live, about moving forward, about self-improvement through self-awareness, through acknowledging who you are, what is keeping you in bondage, those things that you are trying to hide from the people that you think it matters or think matters. They're trying to hide something from you. And that's another thing. The more we bring out, the more we share with people, they will realize that they're not isolated in this area, that what I'm going through, that person may be going through. So we're trying to replace all this stuff that we've internalized with all these things that clearly is not enough based on what we see in society with the people that have all these things. We're working to get those things that are not working for them. So as our caller said earlier, simplicity and minimal. If we can get back to that and stop trying to be something that we're not, or we perceive to have something that we don't, because at the end of the day, none of that matters at all. Tika?
Thank you, Tammy. That was amazing, just all that you shared. I wanted to end our show with just, of course, is dealing this whole moment and talk about complaining. But I want to just end with saying that we complain all the way to work, all the way to work, but we have a job. We complain all the way home, but we have a home. We complain about our marriage, but we have a spouse. We complain about our kids, but we have kids. We complain about our lives, not realizing that it was our choices that brought us there. Never knowing the truth is going to wake you up. We have no idea. It's our choices that brought us where we are today. In talking about this, my goal was just in helping you realize that temptation comes by way of complaining. We have no idea how you're tempted to complain. You don't have to complain even though you feel like you need to, but you're tempted to complain. And I prayed asking God to show me what, not only what in me that needs to change, and I realized and wound up finding out that it was complaining, but I asked him to show me what I had to be, you know, show me how to be more grateful. Show me the things in my life to be more grateful about. How can I be more grateful about what I do have? And what came to mind, it's like I got an instant visual. I used to live in Memphis. I moved from Memphis about a year ago. But what came to mind was this peach, pinkish-colored building downtown Memphis. And this building is a hospital. It's called St. Jude. And for me to ask God to show me the things that I have to be grateful for, and all of a sudden this building came to mind, it made me realize how healthy I am. How grateful and thankful I am that my health is good. My health is well. I have three healthy daughters. My daughters have never been sick. I'm more thankful about that than any material thing I can buy on this earth, my health, because there's nothing that I can do to replace any portion of my health if I lose it. So many of us constantly pray and ask God to change our circumstances, change our lives, change the things in our lives. But how many times do we stop to ask God to help us to change who we are, help us to change our thoughts, help us to change our minds? Because anything that God changes on the outside of your life is not going to do anything for you. So when you're constantly asking God, change this, change that, change this, change that, you're asking him to do something that's not going to matter whatsoever. The change has to come from your mind being renewed. My grandmother used to tell me this one scripture all the time. I heard it so much growing up, and it was Romans 4:17, and it says to call those things which be not as though they were, meaning that we must learn how to stop speaking about what we don't have and start confessing the things we want to have. The things we want to have, we want to have good health, but we want to have a right mind. Not any kind of mind. We want to have a right mind in order to be able to perceive and understand and grasp things in the proper perspective. our filters, meaning the way we're conditioned growing up, the things that we see things the way we were taught to see it. We look at things based on the way we were taught to look at something. Our filters, meaning this is how we've grown up, and we were shown and we were taught how to do this, or we watched something and we didn't like it, and so we try to go about another way in doing it. But it's so many things in us that we will try until the day we die on trying to change this. But if you don't seek God's help in it, it's useless. It to me, it's completely useless. The only change comes is through the renewal of your mind. Think about it. It's your mind that tells you that you're a failure. It's your mind that tells you you're unworthy. It's your mind that tells you the good things. It's your mind that tells you the bad things. But the renewal comes in your mind. If your mind tells you what you can do and can't do, or can have or can't have, or can achieve or can't achieve, it's the mind that needs to be renewed. It's your mind that tells you to believe. It's your mind that tells you not to believe. It's your mind that tells you God's word is real, or it's your mind that tells you none of that stuff is real. Brokenness. It all comes from brokenness. The things that keep you broken are the things that create paralysis. They just create paralysis. So instead of just asking God, you change this, can you change that? Stop. Pray. Ask God, what is it in you that needs to be changed? Stop and pray. Ask God, what is it that you need to be grateful for? What is it that you need to be thankful for? We don't get a second time to get life right. We don't get a second chance to, oh, okay, I messed up way over here, Lord. Just let me get this right this time. I want to be able to get my life right because, like I said, I have three healthy daughters, but these three healthy daughters, physically healthy in their bodies, I want their minds to be healthy because they're not going to always be under my care. My oldest daughter, she's going to be going to college in a couple of years. I want to know that when she goes out into the world, everything that God put into me to feed into her, I want to know that it's there. And I want her to be able to apply it to life based on what I taught her. God put her in my life for me to manage her life, for me to manage and show her the roads to take, what to do, how to live, how to talk, how to act, how to behave, how to love. My teaching has a large impact over how my daughters go out and live their lives. And so I can't just walk through life frivolously thinking, oh, I'll just haphazardly come about, I'll get it right one day. No, the more and more I think about, there's three lives that God has placed in my care. And I don't want to be able to say, oh, yeah, Lord, I tried, but I just couldn't do it. No, I want him to be able to look at me and say, well done. I want to be able to know that my father is pleased with the way I raised my daughters. And more than anything, I want to know that when they go out into the world, like I said, they apply what I taught them. They recognize real love. They recognize the areas of life to remove themselves from. They recognize what to go and share on and about God's kingdom. And I just want them to be a living example. I want them to be a living, breathing example of his word. The word that I give them, the word that I teach them, the word that I take them to church to learn, because church just reinforces what I try to teach them. I want them
to be that.
Yes.
Excuse me, we're just about out of time, so I have another comment from a caller. So we're about 9 seconds left, so I want to get this in from our caller here.
Okay.
When life gives you 100 reasons to cry, show the world you have 1,000 reasons to smile. And I thought that would be a good place to end it. When life gives you 100 reasons to cry, show the world that you have 1,000 reasons to smile. And that's one that was sent in. We weren't able to get you in, but thank you for sending the text. Thank you all. We're going to run out of time. We wanted a song for you tonight. So just remember, basically we want you to change your attitude to gratitude, and that's just meaning be thankful, let the attitude go, and move forward. And if you must complain, there is a site that says justgriping.com. It really is a site that you can go and post anything you want, do any of the complaining that you want, and it's just there for you to do that. So thank you all for listening, and sorry we ran out of time, but we didn't want to keep you for 2 hours tonight. Thank you all for listening, and Carla, we're sorry that we weren't able to get you in, but thank you for texting your comment. Thanks to everybody for listening.
Oh, when my back.